One of my favorite things in the world is hearing stories about how people came to know Jesus. We often call these stories testimonies because a testimony, a story about how God has changed your life, it's a testament to what God has done in someone's life. And when I look back on all the youth rallies I went to as a kid or sermons I heard and testimonies I saw highlighted, they were always really crazy, weren't they? I mean, maybe you guys, perhaps you've heard stories of someone where somebody gets up to tell their testimony and they're like, I was a drug dealer. I was a pimp. I was an alcoholic. I even murdered someone. And then one day I was driving home on my motorcycle and I was hit head on by a Mack truck and I died on the highway and the paramedics brought me back to life. But while I was dead, I went to heaven and talked to God himself and God said to follow Jesus. And when I came back, I promised God that I would follow him forever, and that's how I came to know Jesus, right? Many of you heard those kind of crazy testimonies like that. Or, you know, often we, in the church, we often highlight these really wild stories and these testimonies where people once were living these just publicly promiscuous lives and these wild and crazy lives, and then we see them by God's grace come to faith in Christ. And I love these stories. And the one I just gave you was a little bit ridiculous, but we've all heard these types of testimonies, and the reason I love them is because they show the power of God to save even the people that we think are most hopeless. Many people, we get up and we tell our testimonies, we say, I felt hopeless, but God saved me. That's such a powerful testimony. And there's stories like that all over the Bible. You think of Saul, who is a persecutor of Christians. He murdered Christians. I mean, it was him who stood over and presided when Stephen was stoned to death. And Jesus knocks Saul off his horse, blinds him, and calls him to follow him. A murderer, a persecutor of Christians, now becomes a missionary. I think of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a traitor to his own nation. I mean, he was a thief. He was a tax collector. He was a traitor. He was the worst thing you could be for a person at that time. And Jesus transforms his life. And Zacchaeus goes from being a thief and a robber to being one of the most generous people in all of the Bible. I think of the prodigal son who we studied around Easter time. He wishes his father dead and abandons his family and goes and spends all of his inheritance on parties and, I mean, just, it says, reckless living. He abandons his family, but when he stands back up and he runs back to his father welcomes him back. And there are so many stories in our church that are so similar. People can say, I once was this, but now, by God's grace, I'm this. And they're powerful and they're gripping. But I often wonder, what about the stories of those people who were changed by God when they were young? What about the people who came to know Christ when they were 7 years old and always followed him? I mean, they did their best to obey him. They walked in the ways of his kingdom. Are those stories less valuable in the kingdom of God? No. Are they boring? No. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 71. This psalm this morning, it's the prayer of an old man. It doesn't tell us who it is, but some scholars think it could be David because it sounds like something David would say, and it harkens back to maybe some accounts that maybe David would have experienced. But this is the prayer of an old man who, by all accounts, seems to have followed God for most of his life, even as a child. See, this isn't a testimony like Saul or Zacchaeus or the prodigal son. This is a different type of testimony. And we're going to look at three verses today. Psalm 71, verse 17. The psalmist says, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the heavens. You have done great things, O God, who is like you? And the author of the psalm, like I said, is never mentioned, but here's what we know about this author. One, we know that he's growing old and he's reflecting on his life. Second thing we know is that he trusts in the Lord. It says in verse 1, he says, In you, O Lord, I take refuge. We know that he has seen trouble and he's experienced suffering in his life. In verse 7, he says, I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. Another thing we see is that he was raised by godly parents. Verse 6, he says, Upon you, God, I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. He says that in the womb, he was being taught of God's faithfulness. How does that happen? In the womb, he was hearing his parents speaking of God's goodness and his faithfulness. And just as a side note, it's really outside of the purview of today, but a statement like this, upon you I have leaned before my birth. You looked upon me while I was in my mother's womb. Just as a side note, this statement right here ought to make us pause and consider our position on life and the dignity of the unborn. It says we were known before we were birthed. And so as we think about just the political climate of our day, when we think about the lives of the unborn, we think with a godly perspective. They were made in the image of God before, at the moment of conception. That's a side note, but it needs to be said. But we were known by God from before our birth. And finally, a thing we see about him is that he came to a knowledge of God at a young age, and he sought to follow the Lord throughout his life. Look at what it says in verse 17. I love this. And this is like a prayer for my kids. Oh God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. Parents, isn't that what you pray for your kids? He says, from my youth. And we love powerful testimonies. We love the prodigals coming home. But when I pray for the kids in our church, and when I pray for my kids, I pray that none of them will have a testimony like that. I pray that none of our kids will have a testimony of, I was once doing all these terrible things, and I came to Christ when I was 50 years old at rock bottom. I pray our kids in our church would never have that testimony. I pray, and I say this tongue in cheek, but I pray that our kids would have boring testimonies. That's what I want for our kids. No testimony is boring. So, I say that jokingly. They're all just as miraculous that God would take someone who is a sinner, walking in darkness, and give them new life. That's never boring. But what I mean by boring testimonies is this. My dream for our church, my dream for Crossroads Kids, and my dream for my children is that 25 years from now, when our kids stand up to give their testimonies, wherever that is, they would stand up and it would sound something like this. Hey, when I was a kid growing up, I was 4 years old, and my parents took me to church every week at this church in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. They met in a high school. And people like Olga Rodriguez and Libby Bouchon and DeWitt Ortiz and Elizabeth McHugh, they taught my Crossroads Kids class. And I learned about the love of Jesus, and I was taught how to trust him. And then when I was a little bit older, I came to a knowledge of Jesus' saving faith, and I was baptized by Kyle Vaya. And when I was in middle school and high school, I was in a student growth group with Eddie and Jen Hernandez and Alto Laster. And yeah, I struggled with different sins growing up, and I was tempted like all other kids my age during middle school and high school, but I never doubted my faith. And while I may have stumbled and fell at times, I always tried to do what was right to honor God and to honor my parents. And I never strayed far from the path because as a child, I trusted that the way of Jesus was the way to experience the fullness of life. And I've always believed that. And then our kids one day, years from now, could say at 30, 40, 50 years old, I still trust God and want to see his glory made evident in my life. That is what that if. 30 years from now, if every kid in our church could stand up and give a testimony like that, God will have been extremely faithful to this church and to our kids. And I want our kids to have boring testimonies. This is why we put so much effort and time into Crossroads Kids. It's why we dedicate an entire Sunday like this to talk about kids and be with kids. It's why we do Easter extravaganzas and back-to-school supply drives and mommy meetups and read-to-me clubs and sports and arts camps. Because we as a church want to leverage every opportunity that we can to see the kids in our church and our neighborhood to hear and know and learn the power and the love of Jesus. Oh God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. That's my hope for my kids. The one who's talking right now, that's mine. That's my hope for my kids, and that's my hope for your kids, and that's my hope for all the kids in our city, that they would know Jesus early and that they would follow him. And here's the thing, we have a lot of powerful testimonies in our church, and we're going to hear a couple in the coming weeks. And there's not one person in our church that has one of those powerful testimonies that every single person in this church would trade their story in a heartbeat for a story like this one. I know that if you heard my story, I would trade my story in a heartbeat to have had a story like this. We want our kids to have boring testimonies, but the author of this psalm says something more, not just to our kids, but he says something to us. In verse 18, he says, "So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come." He says, even to old age. See, the psalmist doesn't just give us a vision for childhood here. He gives us a vision for all of our lives. I love it. You hear the psalmist, he begs God. He says, God, do not forsake me. He begs God to say, God, let me be faithful throughout my life so that I can tell of your power to the coming generations. So that I can tell the next generations your faithfulness. Psalm 145 says, one generation shall commend the works of God to another so that they will speak of his glorious splendor. And church, here's the thing that we all need to know is that there is a command right here and all throughout the scriptures that we are to have a concern for the next generation. See, this isn't a distraction. There's a lot of noise happening right now, and I know you're like having to lean in to hear the sermon. But the reason we're willing to be a little bit inconvenienced today is so that our kids can hear the gospel. And the reason we're willing to be a little inconvenienced, it's hard being a church that has this many kids. We're always short on budget for kids ministry, and we never have enough volunteers. But it's worth it because the scriptures call us to proclaim the goodness of God to the next generation. Whether you're a parent, whether you're single, whether you're a retiree, whether you're married without kids, no one is exempt. You are called by God to speak of God's faithfulness to the next generation. A few weeks ago, I went to summer camp with our high school students. And Eddie Hernandez was one of our student leaders, one of our chaperones. And he was leading our Bible study times with our students. And he said something that just hasn't left my mind since we left camp. During one of the Bible studies, he was telling our students about how grateful he is for the way that God has changed his life in recent years. And he looked at our students and he said, the reason that I'm here with you this week and the reason that I wanted to see you come to camp and hear the good news and have fun and worship is, he said, the reason I'm here with you this week is because I want you guys to have what I never had when I was your age, a relationship with Jesus. That's a powerful, powerful testimony. And when I hear Emily Mueller and Andrea Stockton and Olga and our kids leaders talking about what drives them for our kids ministry, the thing that motivates them is that they want to see our kids come to know the love of Jesus while they're young. Because how many of us would say, man, I wish I would have come to know Jesus when I was young? Would have saved me from a lot of mistakes. And I want you guys to know our church is committed to this. I am committed to this. We're committed to seeing coming generations worship God more faithfully than us. I hear people all the time talk about the next generation and they worry about the church. They're like, oh, what's the future of the church? What's the future of Christianity? Look at all these kids. They're glued to their smartphones. Put all that out of our minds. I believe that the Spirit of God wants to do something powerful in the work of our kids. And I believe that 20 years from now, we're going to see greater things in this church than we're seeing right now. Because I believe that God's going to be faithful to our kids today. And it's why, and we're committed to this, and it's why in 2018, I want our budget for our kids ministry, I want to up it significantly, like a lot. And now I don't get to make those decisions unilaterally. So we have a finance team and an elder team. So I don't get to just say right now what it's going to be. But I would love to see us raise our budget for our kids ministry by a significant amount, like thousands of dollars amount. I think we need to put our money where our mouth is. We've got so many kids. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had 171 people in worship. That's the largest attendance this church has ever had. 70 of those were kids. 70 of those were kids. That is favor on our church. But it is also, God is calling us to something greater, and that is to minister to the next generation. And so next year, we're going to raise our budget for our kids' ministry. I'm going to ask our finance team and our elders to raise our budget for our kids' ministry. Can I get an amen from our elders? Okay. I don't want to get in too much trouble, okay? And if we're going to raise our budget, that means that all of us need to reach deeper into our pockets and give and be generous with this church, because we have to believe that our kids' ministry is more important than just snacks and babysitting. Our kids' ministry, it's disciple making. And people say, I want to, you know, if you want to give your money, if you want to invest your money into something that lasts, invest it in proclaiming the gospel to the next generation. It also means that we need more people to serve in our kids' ministry. We need more people in this room to commit to giving one Sunday a month to being in our kids' classroom or at the kids' check-in table. And this week, when you leave the auditorium today, at the Next Step table, there's going to be opportunities to sign up and serve in the kids' and students' ministries. And so I encourage you to do so. But my prayer for our kids is that they would have boring testimonies. And my prayer for each of you is that even to our old age and our gray hairs, we will proclaim God's might to another generation, His power to all those who come. Because here's God's grace in this whole passage. Not all of us came to know Christ at a young age. But all of us in this room, if we know Christ now, by God's grace, we will follow Him until our grayest of gray hairs, or in my case, I'm losing them. And until the day that we breathe our last breath, we want our lives to be given to proclaiming the goodness and the glory and the power of God to those who are in the generations below us. And I've kept saying this phrase, boring testimony. But here's the reality, this dream right here, if God could take those 70 kids and 30 years from now, every one of them would know and worship and be faithful to God, do you realize that that would be anything but boring? You realize how miraculous that would be if every one of our kids 30 years from now were still just loved Jesus? That would be called revival. And so that's why I pray for that, because I've heard of God's wonderful deeds. And I've seen what He's done in my life, and I've seen what He's done in so many of your lives, and I'm trusting Him to do that in the lives of our children. Megan Hill is an author at Christianity Today, and last year, she wrote an article about her boring testimony. See, in Christianity Today, there's a section, a column called Testimonies. And it always highlights these testimonies, just these wild testimonies of people coming to faith. And one week, Megan Hill contributed hers, and it was titled, My Boring Testimony. And she said, for years and years, I've read this column, and I've looked at it, and I've wondered what God could do with my testimony. She was like, I can't even remember a time I didn't follow Jesus. She's like, I just grew up believing. And she's like, you know, there was a moment where I came to faith, but I just always remember being around Jesus in the Bible. And she says, I've always wondered, is my story less powerful? But in this column, she expresses her gratitude for all the Sunday school teachers and the youth leaders in her life that allowed her to have what she called a boring testimony. And then she says this, she says, I am hoping and praying that my three sons will have the exact same ordinary, boring Christian childhood that I had. She said, but without a doubt, each of my children is still a rebel against the King. They have their own sinful hearts, and each one of them have run from God in their own way. And whether they embrace faith tomorrow or they spend hard years going their own way first, their salvation will only be by the work of amazing grace. She says, there is no dull salvation. There is no boring testimony. The Son of God took on our flesh to suffer and die, purchasing a people for His glory. As Gloria Furman writes, the idea that anyone's testimony of a blood-bought salvation could be uninteresting or unspectacular is a defamation of the work of Christ. She says, for myself, I cannot point to a specific day of spiritual awakening. I can only point to my Lord, who says, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. John 6:37. And she closes out her column like this. She says, my Jesus, I come every day in need of grace and find myself not cast out. Boring testimonies like mine are just what the church, especially its young people, needs to hear. Testimonies of childhood faith have all the elements of God's amazing grace, beginning, middle, and end. And when I look at my children, I pray that their testimonies turn out to be just as amazing as mine. Church, let's pray for our kids right now.